Welcome to Getting Granular, the podcast where digital marketing experts from the agency Granular talk about the latest trends, tried and true best practices, and share their unfiltered thoughts about the industry. Whether you're here to learn how to grow your business, improve your digital skills, or just want to hear some Midwest PPC experts rant about digital media, you've come to the right place.
Welcome to the Getting Granular podcast. My name is Matt Frieder. I am the Marketing Operations Manager here at Granular, and we're going to be continuing on with our interviews of folks from the Granular team. Today, I have Chris Caesar in the booth, excited to be talking to him. And Chris, how long have you been at Granular?
Hey, Matt. So I started in Granular at Granular in July of 2018, so about 9-10 months or so.
All right. So still kind of new. You're like me. I'm working on my 7th month here, which is good. And I think that's kind of just a testament to like Granular keeps growing. You know, we just keep adding people, growing, which is great. So, you know, you've kind of been here long enough to kind of really understand what's going on, but not quite long enough to fully understand the Granular world. But I think we both kind of get it. I don't know. We both probably have gone through the same learning experiences here. So let's talk a little bit about your background. You know, what kind of industries were you working on in the past? Were you working at agencies, in-house? You know, what did that path to Granular look like?
Yeah. So going into my first senior year of college.
I've been there.
Yeah. My aunt was actually the vice president of human resources at a company called Batteries Plus Bulbs. And she knew I was looking for an internship, and she said, you know, my degree is in strategic communication. And she said, hey, we have this internship opening where you're actually going to be doing things like taking apart cell phones and, you know, learning how to take them apart, put them together, fix broken screens and whatnot for a new program they launched. So I did that for a year, and she knew I was looking to get into marketing, and she basically reached back out around to me within the next year as I was working there. She said, hey, there's going to be this new position opening up, this internship where it's going to be this thing called PPC. And I had no idea. I was like, it was in the marketing department. It would be a good foot in the door. So that's actually where I got my start, was doing things with batteries and light bulb repair for Batteries Plus Bulbs at an in-house place, sort of help them launch their whole original program. So
how long ago was that?
That was, so I moved to the internship in the marketing department in the summer of 2015, right before my second senior year of college. So about four years ago.
Okay. So then you've been doing PPC paid media, working in this space for a number of years. You know, we always kind of talk about origin stories, and that's kind of a good one, where it's kind of like, all right, here's this business, I fall into it. You know, what was it about paid search, you know, paid media that made you want to stick into it?
Yeah. So, like I said, when I first fell into it, it was like, I have no idea what this is. I'll give it a shot. You know, if I don't like it for a summer, I don't ever have to do it again. And one of my teachers, the guys who originally taught me how to do this, his name's Dan Zuzanski. If he hears this, hi, Dan. One of his big stickler things was, it's all about the small details. You have to be paying attention at all times. And it's really easy to make just a horrible mistake that spends, you know, a bunch of money if you're not paying attention. And me, sort of with my OCD tendencies, it sort of just clicked for me of just like, oh, this is a great thing for me to doing, because I'm always a stickler for just the smallest details in, you know, just in my day-to-day life of like, my bed needs to be made every day, and I just, A, B, and C need to be done in this order. So it was just sort of a natural fit to where, you know, I'm doing something that has a lot of reading into numbers into it. I've always been sort of more of a big math guy. But then also, you know, just paying attention to just the smallest little details of just every little thing going on.
So you talked about, you know, if you're not checking all the little details, you can end up making a mistake. Is there a big mistake that you remember you made when you were first kind of doing this?
Not a huge mistake. because, you know, when I you start off, you always got people looking over your shoulder to make sure what you do. But there have been a few times where I've done things like launch a campaign with all broad keywords. And if you know anything about PPC, the broad keyword is sort of like a wide fishing net to where, you know, your keyword is this, but it could be pulling in A, B, and C that are closely related to it, or and sometimes not closely related at all. So there have been a time or two where I launched the campaign and it was like, oh crap, you just spent like $50 in an hour, and it's a good thing you caught it now, because if you let it go all weekend, you would have spent like $3,000 in 4 days. And then that's when all hell breaks loose and you just got to be like, I wasn't paying attention there. And yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That little like early on kind of thing. It's like making that one mistake that you never forget. And it's like every time, I'm sure you're setting up a new account and you're like, that's like in the back of your head, like, oh man, I can't do this again.
Every single time.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. We all kind of have that. So I always like to look back into what PPC looked like, you know, 4, 5, 6 years ago, whenever anybody started in PPC, because it changes so much. That's something that we always talk about as marketers is, okay, every day there's a new update or something's changing, new betas are coming in. When you started, what did, you know, paid search, paid media look like?
So a lot of it was similar to where, you know, the strategy behind it, it's just very intuitive. You know, this is what people are going to be searching and this is what people are going to be looking for when they land on your page. You want your keywords and your landing pages and your ads to all make sense and work together. But a lot of the how it's done behind the scenes sort of has changed. When I first started, the way text ads were set up, you know, you had your 125 character headline and then your 230 character descriptions. And now ad size is like three times that, where, you know, they've made these changes now at least two different times of, you know, we've given you more space now. So it's sort of, let's go back to all of my accounts and rewrite all of my ads to take advantage of that space. At first it is sort of an adjustment, and it's a little bit of a struggle of, you know, I have this ad that's doing really well, but now Google's telling me, expand this ad and take advantage of the more space you have available, because it's going to help, you know, A, B, and C metrics. So the transition to there was sort of a big thing. And also the way keywords are functioning now is starting to change. You know, the exact match is now an exact-ish match, quote unquote. They want you to just stay more broad, but really you always want to be targeting more exact. So it's always just sort of a fluid, ever moving sort of, machine that you need to be able to stick with, you know, what works best, but also be able to adjust to the new tendencies.
Sure. Sure. So when you look at the past, where it's come, now let's look at the future. What do you see happening, 5, 10 years down the line? What are the big trends that you see come into the industry here?
Yeah, so I know the big thing within the past, I mean, even if you watch the Super Bowl, there was all those commercials with all the different AI and machine learning and things like that. And it's no different within our industry. People are talking all the time of, you know, this machine's going to take over, this automation is going to be taking over your job. And that's not really the way I like to look at it. I mean, A, because it's my job and what I do for a living. But B, also, you know, you see things work this way and then you try these new automations and they don't always work the best. So really what I look forward to most is being able to find a way to incorporate all that new machine learning and fancy new ways of doing things into how am I going to incorporate that into what I'm doing on a day-to-day basis? So not that machines are going to take over my job, but I can use that machine learning and all that automated intelligence to enhance the work that I'm doing.
That makes a lot of sense. I know AI is being pushed really heavy with Google, really heavy with Bing. Pretty much all these platforms, even the social ones, are jumping into AI. I know we've heard this from Jordan, the president here. He's always talked about, okay, it can be totally automated, but where's the strategy going to come from? And, you know, that's kind of that human element there as well. What about the future of PPC makes you most excited?
I mean, I think it would just sort of be what I just sort of touched on of, you know, how am I going to be able to use this new machine learning to incorporate my sort of strategy, and how is that going to enhance the results I'm getting from my clients? Because, like you mentioned, it's not the fact that this is going to be able to just drive all the strategy. It's I'm going to need to put the strategy behind it and then use the bits and pieces of the machine learning that's going to work well to come together and form this overarching strategy that, that drives results.
Something that I always like to bring up is the kind of uncomfortableness, the squeamishness that people have around paid search and paid media. In that, you know, you hear Google knows everything about me. I'm a little uncomfortable about that. I was just shopping for some shoes, and now these same shoes are showing up on everything that I look at. All of a sudden, I'm getting emails or people are like, oh, I was just talking about this one thing, and then it's on my Instagram feed. And, you know, that's kind of what we do in a way. You know, what's your kind of take on that?
Yeah, so I don't know if I'm necessarily Instagram is listening to me truth or not, but you know, there's definitely some stuff behind there. You know, if you and me are talking about this fire pit that I saw at Target, and I go back to my computer and I see a fire pit at Target, obviously I'm going to get, you know, some sort of suspicious behind that. But also, you have to think about the fact of, you know, if you're talking about a fire pit at Target, chances are you've done some sort of research about getting this fire pit at Target, because it doesn't just come out of the blue where this conversation starts for no reason. So I think that the whole process of, you know, I'm searching for something and I maybe not remember it because it was just like something I did on my offhand, not thinking about it, and then started a conversation. You're going to remember the conversation, but you don't remember the original search that you did, or, you know, something. It's going to be something where, you know, there's been some activity prior that's indicating why that you're seeing this ad. Really, what I hear more of when it comes to all these different privacy concerns is, you know, I tell, you know, my aunt, my grandma, anyone over the age of, you know, I don't want to put labels on people, but, you know, the older generations, I tell them what I do and say, oh, are you the one that puts those pop-up ads on the websites? And that's really where, you know, the issue comes in of trying to explain, like, no, I don't do that. You know, that's A, B, and C that's in charge of doing that. You know, typically if this website is giving you spammy ads, it's kind of a spammy website that you never really should be on in the first place. And, you know, just more, it's more of an educating different people that don't understand, you know, the internet, quote unquote, in general of, you know, how everything works and why something is happening that you're seeing this ad.
Yeah, I was trying to explain to one of my friends, you kind of hit on it, you know, nail on the head there, is she said, oh, okay, you work in this industry. She's like, can you explain that, like, I was talking about, I think it was like traveling to some island place. I think it was like, okay, let's just say Punta Cana. And, you know, she's been searching for vacations, and she's like, I've been thinking about searching for places to go to Punta Cana. And I was like, okay. And she's like, well, I never searched anything, or I don't remember doing anything about it, yet I'm getting all these ads and they're only about Punta Cana. So I was like, okay, let me backtrack this a little bit, because those don't show up on their own. Like, there's a piece of data somewhere that, like, makes it, you know, fit in. And, you know, okay, so, like, okay, I looked at her, you're, you know, female between the ages of this and this, and, you know, relative incomes between this and this, and, you know, you're probably looking to go on vacation, so you started searching other stuff. So with those three data points, someone that's working the Punta Cana account, you know, is going to be like, okay, we got to send her like an email or whatever it may be. And she's like, oh, I didn't really think of it that way. It's like, it's not as exact as I searched this and then now it's coming up. It could be like, I searched things that were adjacent to that, and now it's coming up, which is kind of both a good thing and a bad thing, I think, for some people. But hey, it works out.
Yeah, personally, I feel like, hey, if something's going to help me find what I'm looking for, more power to whoever that advertiser is that found the way to put that ad in front of me. Because end of the day, if it's something that I'm A, looking for, B, interested in, or C, need, I'm gonna buy it.
Right. I totally agree. That's kind of my stance on it, is like, the more info they have on you, yeah, it feels a little weird, but at the same time, you're getting the best stuff that's catered to you. The one problem I always have is like, okay, let's say you're searching for like a big ticket item. And I've told this story before of okay, I was in the market to buy a new mattress. And you see all those like mattress on a box companies like Nectar and Casper and all those places. So I saw a deal for Nectar, said, okay, this looks good. I'll buy it. Good price. They sent it to me. Love the bed. Everything's great. And then for the next like 30 to 60 days, I kept getting ads for Nectar. And they were like more aggressive with me because I was on their site a lot. And I would love for them to like say, hey, I already bought it. Now stop sending me ads because you're wasting money on me. And I don't know. I just like, I want that to be like the next level of like, I purchased, now move on for me, or give me sheets and, you know, pillows and something like that. That's just my thought there.
Yeah, no, that's definitely something that, you know, is always a pain point, not only with consumers, but also clients, because you're spending money that they don't need to be spending. You know, you bought that mattress. You don't need to be buying another mattress. And honestly, that's a big frustration point for me as a customer, too, of, you know, I buy something. I don't want to see your ads for the next month. And there are actually ways to go in there and say, OK, these people are past purchasers. You know, it's a big ticket item. It's a mattress. So you're not going to be buying it, you know, three times in the next 5 months. So in cases like that, you do need to be able, there are ways, and people just need to be conscious of that and take that step to say, okay, if I'm selling you a mattress, I don't need to be advertising you a mattress after you buy. So, you know, get the tracking in place. That I'd agree with you that that's a sort of a big pain point, frustration point on my end too, of things that you just see all the time that you don't need to be seeing.
That's good. I'm not alone on that one. I like feel bad. I'm like, you guys are wasting money. Go after someone else, because I know how it works, you know? So when it comes to kind of getting a new client, you got a new one coming down the pipeline, what is your approach to kind of getting to know that client, you know, and then getting that strategy in place?
Yeah. So anytime, you know, someone approaches me and say, hey, we have a new client coming aboard. It's company XYZ. First thing I'm going to do is just sort of take a look at company XYZ's website. You know, this is what they do. This is what they're trying to sell or whatever it may be. Take, you know, anywhere between 10 minutes, 45 minutes to browse their website. Learn what you can about them. You know, compile some questions, because it makes sense to have some sort of background before you go in and meet them. Then if they have any, you know, Google Ads, Bing account set up, Facebook, LinkedIn, whatever, hop in there, take a look through that, say, okay, this is what their strategy is, this is what they're targeting, this is what their goals are. Yeah, so then once you take the time to understand what you're trying to do prior to meeting with them, you have that background of this is what we want to do. And it's just going to make for a whole more cohesive original bond you make with your new client of, you know, we're on the same page now. We have some defined next steps, and it's really just a smooth transition into launching a new account.
At Granular, you know, of course, there's our expertise in PPC, paid media, managing accounts, and kind of being, you know, really hyper focused on that. Another thing is analytics, reporting, ROI. And at the end of the day, that's the biggest thing for clients. That's what matters the most to them. What's your kind of personal approach to, you know, analytics and reporting and kind of bringing that information up to your clients?
Yeah, so I think the best way when you're talking reporting and ROI leads and whatnot like that, things like that, the best thing to do is just to be straightforward. Don't beat around the bush, you know. This is doing well. This is not doing well. Here are recommendations I have for improving this thing that's not doing well. And as long as you have that open dialect, they're not going to feel like you're trying to screw them over and you're like, oh, we're giving you all of our money and what are you doing with it? Just be open, be honest, be a straight shooter. And that's going to be, you know, the step one to having a good communication, a good working relationship. And eventually that's going to be the best way to improve your results of just, you know, finding things that are working, finding things that aren't working. And, you know, if you have to have that fail fast approach, you have the fail fast approach, but at least you know that you tried things and it's working.
I definitely like that approach. I mean, I've come from, prior to being a Granular, you know, was in kind of a marketing manager role, managing digital from a kind of an in-house side of things and relying on an agency. And, you know, when I heard this isn't working, I found that more valuable than what is. Like, you know it is, this is working, we know why. But, you know, we're also putting money in something and that's not working. And then if you can figure out why that's not working, that I think is the most valuable part of it. So I'm happy you kind of like touched on that.
Oh, for sure. And like you said, you know, you're always, oh, this is working. And you're always going to hear, oh, this is working from, you know, whoever you're working with is going to be telling you this is doing well. And it's good news, bad news of, you know, people, marketers are hard on themselves. This isn't working. And you sort of feel, you feel attacked, but you feel attacked by yourself of like, I'm trying, like, this is my baby. I've been working so hard to get this to work. And, you know, for whatever reason, it's not working. So you're always going to want to be able to at least just admit sometimes that whatever you're trying is not working. And just to take a step back, reassess the situation and see how you can pivot that strategy to make that work.
So before recording, we were kind of chatting about your kind of interest or any particular areas of expertise that you might have. We were talking about how you've done a lot of B2B, a lot of lead gen campaigns. You want to talk about kind of your experience with that?
Yeah. So originally the agency I came to prior to being at Granular specialized in B2B and lead gen. So, you know, I was working with anything from the plastic covering on your microwave for treadmill screen to industrial oven the size of a house. So there was a wide range of, you know, just things you'd A, never think of, and B, never even realize existed until you're out there working with them. So I feel like learning about all these weird different things really helped me in terms of, you know, I'm not trying to sell you or set up an account for something that I have a huge interest in. So it really helped me expand my horizons and just be able to learn how to think outside the box when it comes to marketing different products, because most of those things I was working with were things that I never even heard of, you know, the month prior working there.
What's the biggest thing that you learned running a B2B campaign for so long? Like, if you could kind of tell yourself before you started doing these until, you know, now, what was the number one thing that you wanted to kind of tell your past self?
So obviously, anytime you're working in a campaign, you're focused on ROI, and 9.5 times out of 10, your client is not going to know how much a lead is worth to them. You can say, you know, we're getting you leads at $100 per lead coming in. And you want to go back to them and say, you know, what percent of these leads do you close? What's the value of one of these leads coming in? So is this profitable? And again, most of the time you're going to hear, I really don't know, I'll have to look into that. But then you never hear back from them. So really, it's just always going to be a goal of continual improvement on your own end. As long as you can show that, you know, this cost per lead is dropping and we're getting more leads in at a more frequent pace. It's not always going to be the easiest to prove that these are valuable. You're going to have to take some extra steps to go in and say, okay, what did these leads say? What people are filling out these forms and what are they looking for? And then if you have a little bit more of that background information, you can go to these clients and say, okay, Joe Smith requested information on this specific product or this repair for his product that he bought from you 15 years ago. Is that something that would be valuable? So just having more information about what leads are coming in and not just having a rough number of, you know, we had 30 leads this month. That would really be the biggest thing that I would have taught myself if I had the chance.
Yeah, it could be tough to, you know, even some companies themselves are like, we don't really know what a lead's worth. You know, when you look at some of these big B2B, you know, one lead could be, you know, $1 million worth of revenue off of this one person that came through PPC. And then there could be someone else that came through that, you know, is maybe $200-$300 of revenue. And, you know, what did you spend for that click? And you could have spent more on the person that was $200 than the person that was $1 million. So it's definitely tough. I see where you're coming from, but and it's funny because like companies they don't even know. They're like, God, we're not even sure. But yeah, as long as you're optimizing to kind of get that number down and then kind of give them the time to kind of figure it out, I guess that's all you can do on your side. Just get the numbers lower, you know.
Your numbers are improving. You're tying a hand behind my back by not knowing what I'm bringing back for you. But, you know, you're just trying to fight for what you can and just show continual improvement on these accounts.
Another thing that you talked about being a special skill set of yours is call tracking, setting up call tracking, kind of the nuts and bolts behind that and, you know, what the success with that looks like. So what are kind of the nuts and bolts of getting started with like a call tracking system?
Yeah, so like I mentioned, a lot of times these clients aren't going to know, you know, what the value of a lead is, but also they're not going to know, you know, how people are contacting them. You know, I've had clients tell me, yeah, we're not really getting a whole lot of form fills from this campaign, and my client comes back to me and says, yeah, well, the way that this particular line of business works is it's very custom, very complex, so no one's going to fill out a form, and you know, a lot of times people are going to pick up the phone and call and just talk through it. You know, I sort of roll my eyes of like, well, that would have been good to know prior. Other times it's, you know, I've worked with a pest control company where, you know, we've had this phone number on their website for people looking for immediate assistance. And it was a matter of, you know, we have it set up as an 800 number, but there's other people who are out there that say, you know, local numbers are going to always work best. So we've done tests of, you know, let's show a local number based on someone's location. If they're in the Milwaukee area, show them a 414. If they're in the Madison area, show them a 608, Green Bay 920, et cetera. So what I've had a lot of experience doing that of, you know, it's always a rotational test of, you know, how can we get the in situations where, you know, phone calls are going to be valuable. How are we going to be able to track those? If someone might not necessarily care about, you know, quote unquote quality, I don't want to say quality because quality is always going to be important, but, you know, it's going to be, I care more about getting a large number of phone calls as opposed to, you know, I'd rather have 10 really good phone calls. So and that's how you have to look at how are you going to be tracking these things. You know, if I could just say, you know, I can install a clickable number on your website and just say, okay, this is how many people clicked your number to call it. Or if it's that someone looking for the 10 calls of really high quality, it's, you know, maybe it's makes more sense to invest in a call tracking software where we can, you know, show these dynamic numbers, track it down to what keywords people are searching and, you know, go actually be able to go in and listen to those phone calls to say, okay, this person mentioned X service in your business. And we can say, okay, that's what we're trying to get. That was good. Or, you know, they asked for something completely irrelevant and all of these calls that are asking for something irrelevant are coming in through this keyword or this campaign. So maybe we should look at either tweaking that part of the campaign or just shutting that down and focusing on the other parts that are working really well. So really that's really something you could talk about for an hour straight of, you know, just various ways that you can, you know, track phone calls and say whether or not, the various ways are going to work for you based on what your goals are.
So what brought you to Granular?
Yeah. So at the place I was working at previously, I had probably been talking to Jordan and Steve about coming on board for probably at least 6 months of where I had an intro meeting at the time. You know, it just didn't work out. You know, I wasn't terribly interested in leaving where I was. And they, you know, for whatever reason, either went in a different direction or weren't looking to hire immediately. But then the time went on a couple more months. Like I said, there was about a 6 month process of, I just found myself less and less happy on a daily basis going into work at my old place. And, I guess there, like you said, Granular continues to grow. So the demand for new employees, continued to be there. So eventually we came to a point where, you know, I felt like it was time to move on and they were ready to bring me on board. And yeah, it was really, it was, like I said, it's sort of a longer process to come in. But it all worked out for the best.
Culture is a big deal here at Granular. You know, that kind of gets, set from the top down from, Jordan, Steve, everybody down, the partners, you know, what is it about the granular culture that you really like?
Yeah, so I would probably the biggest thing to say is, you know, the freedom and, you know, open responsibility of, you know, hear your clients, just do your work, make sure they're happy. Other than that, you're just do whatever you need, do whatever you want. And that, honestly, that freedom just is empowering. I'm not feeling like I'm a kindergarten where someone's holding my hand every day of, okay, here are your tasks. I need you to finish these. And, you know, if you have to stay here till 8 p.m. to get them done, that's what you're going to do. It's the freedom of, you know, managing myself is really what I would probably say is the most appealing part of working here.
Thanks for listening to the Getting Granular podcast and today's interview with Chris. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss out on any of the PPC tips, tricks, and other news from the digital marketing world. This is your host, Matt Frieder, and thanks for getting granular with us today.